Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
There's no doubt that Al-Qaeda will continue to pursue attacks against us. We must, and we will, remain vigilant at home and abroad. As we do, we must also reaffirm that the United States is not and never will be at war with Islam. I've made clear, just as President Bush did shortly after 9/11, that our war is not against Islam. Bin Laden was not a Muslim leader. He was a mass murderer of Muslims. Indeed, Al-Qaeda has slaughtered scores of Muslims in many countries, including our own. So his demise should be welcomed by all who believe in peace and human dignity.
That, of course, is President Barack Obama speaking last night to the nation and to the world in what may not be the most important speech he'll ever give, but perhaps one of the most historically notable speeches he will give in his presidency. The death of Osama bin Laden is certainly news and is certainly something that many people have been waiting for. What will the reaction be in the Muslim world? How important is, or shall we say, was Osama bin Laden to radical Islamists, given the fact that he was hiding in Pakistan, living in relative ease, when the myth was a man fighting from the Afghan border in caves and directing the operations of Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations all over the world. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc., live this Monday afternoon, the 2nd of May. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch will be our guest for the first few minutes of this hour to talk about the life and death of Osama bin Laden. Dr. Martin Noland will join us after that. Another big story in the news, overshadowed by Osama bin Laden's death, the beatification of Pope John Paul II that happened this weekend. And then we'll review the sermon preached at the royal wedding by London Bishop Richard Chartres. A sermon review coming up a little bit later in this hour of Issues, Etc. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address, @issuesetc, or visit our Facebook fan page. Leave your reaction to the Royal Wedding Sermon right there for later in the program, facebook.com/issuesetc. Robert Spencer is a regular guest, director of Jihad Watch, and author of several books on Islam, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. Robert, welcome back.
I'm happy to be back. Thanks, Todd.
What is your reaction to what President Obama had to say, that little snippet we played this a moment ago, in his speech last night announcing the death of Osama bin Laden, where he says, "I've made it clear, just as President Bush did shortly after 9/11, that our war is not against Islam. Bin Laden was not a Muslim leader. He was a mass murderer of Muslims."
Well, this is just more cognitive dissonance. There was just in Quetta in Pakistan today a rally. Nearly 1,000 people were there. And the leader of the rally was a Pakistani politician, Mawlawi Asmatullah. And he said bin Laden was the hero of the Muslim world. The hero of the Muslim world. Now, is that guy just dreaming? Is it wishful thinking on his part or on Barack Obama's? It's one or the other. Hamas also has said that bin Laden was a martyr, and there were riots today in Jerusalem. Muslims rioting because they were angry about the killing of Osama bin Laden. I have not seen any demonstrations by any Muslims happy about the killing of Osama bin Laden. The Council on American Islamic Relations issued a statement, but they are tied to Hamas as well, and they're departing from the statements of Hamas itself. One wonders if they're just being deceptive.
So how important was Osama bin Laden in his latter days in the Islamist, the international Islamist movement?
Not real important, Todd. I mean, I hate to pour cold water over this. This is a good day. It was a good thing that this happened. There's no denying that. That's very important. At the same time, we have to have a realistic understanding of things. This is not an this is not a movement centered around a powerful, charismatic personality. This is an ideologically driven movement. And that ideology still lives. It very much still lives. And Osama bin Laden was not the one who originated it. And it's not going to die with him.
Is it more alive, the idea, the Islamist ideal, now that he's dead, than it was when he was alive?
Well, I suppose you could make a case for that in the sense that people will be more and more energized and say, we have to avenge his death. And certainly revenge is a very strong idea in Islam. And you give back what you get. And so we can expect that there will be retaliatory attacks. But they were already at war with us. They were already fighting against us. This is not really anything new.
How were the ideas that were so often articulated by Osama bin Laden in both his public life before 9/11 and then his kind of videotaped-in life that he spent after our actions in Afghanistan began. How were his ideas rooted in the Quran?
They were supplemented by copious quotes from the Quran. They were always based on Quranic principles. As a matter of fact, in his famous letter to the American people on October 6, 2002, where he fully explains his motives and goals, he says, "The first thing we are calling you to is Islam." He's saying, in other words, we are fighting you essentially because you're not Muslim in the final analysis, and if you convert to Islam, we will stop fighting you.
So in other words, this would have been an idea that would have been shared in principle by anyone who takes the Quran as a holy writing seriously.
Yeah, the problem here is that Muslims in the West who are not fighting against the West, not fighting against the United States, not engaging in terrorist activity, we just assume that they accept the idea of pluralistic democratic government, when actually there's no indication that they do, and there's plenty of indication that they hold to Islamic law and ultimately want to bring Islamic law here. Even if they may differ as to the tactics of how to do that with Osama bin Laden, they don't disapprove of the overall goal.
So with his death, you've already mentioned a few of the reactions that have occurred just in the last 24 hours or the last 12 hours. What do you expect the general reaction in national Islam to be to Osama bin Laden's death?
The general reaction I expect in the Islamic world will be a rising indignation. And there have already been objections from quarters that are supposed to be moderate, objections to this burial at sea, even though it was carried out scrupulously according to Islamic rites. Muslim leaders like Al-Azhar University in Cairo, which is the most prestigious and influential institution among Sunni Muslims, have been saying this is something that's not in accord with Islam, and they're already stirring up rage about that. And, you know, Islamic rage generally leads to violence.
How would a Muslim, a Quranic Muslim, see what they perceive to be? I'll take your word for it that the burial at sea was scrupulously carried out according to Muslim principles, but how would they see such a treatment of a fellow Muslim's body?
Well, it should have been buried on land. The burial according to Islamic rites has been widely reported and actually was ordered at the highest levels.
Do you think that's a smart thing or a prudential thing for those who were in charge who had custody of his body to have done, Robert?
No, I don't think so. The best way would have been the way that Bush dealt with Zarqawi, the former al-Qaeda leader in Iraq, when he was killed back in 06, I believe it was. Zarqawi was buried in an undisclosed location. Nobody knows where he was, and there was no mention of Islamic rites or anything of the kind. To announce to the world, as the Obama administration has done, that Osama bin Laden was buried according to Islamic rites with an imam present and so on, this is to signal, he's trying to show, see, we're not at war with Islam. But just last night he said Osama was not a Muslim leader. And if Osama's not a Muslim leader, why is he being accorded all this Islamic respect? And it's really essentially paying homage to the ideology that fueled the murders of 9/11. And this is something that we should not countenance.
What are your thoughts on the photos? And we do understand from news reports that for verification's sake, there is photo and there's DNA evidence regarding Osama bin Laden's body. What are your thoughts on the release of...
I think those photos should definitely be released because, you know, there's always going to be conspiracy mongering and rumor mongering and people making up theories and saying the whole thing is trumped up and having doubts about it and so on. And that's the best way to make sure that people understand what really happened. The problem is with it, of course, is that Muslims will use that yet another pretext, as a humiliation, that the great hero, the warrior, the Mujahid, is being humiliated in this way by the release of these photos. But at the same time, this is something that they're already saying on other pretexts, and so we cannot let that guide our actions.
What does it say to you that Osama bin Laden was, at least for a time, living close to a Pakistani military academy in this Pakistani town?
Well, it's clear the Pakistani government knew where he was and was sheltering him, and the Pakistanis have been playing a double game for years. We have been letting them get away with it. We've been giving them money and yet not seeing any return for it in terms of their actual work against terror. And so we should stop giving them money and stop regarding them as an ally. Really, it would save the United States economy quite a bit. We're giving them over $1 billion every year. And imagine if we had $1 billion to let the U.S. taxpayers deal with, you know, let us keep our money instead of funding our own demise by giving it to Pakistan.
Finally, then, with about 30 seconds, what's the lesson that we ought to be learning from the death of Osama bin Laden?
The main thing is that this thing is not going to end with him. It wasn't originated by him. It's not centered around him. It's an ideology rooted in Islam, and that continues.
Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch. He's author of several books on Islam, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. You'll find a link to Jihad Watch and to The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran at our website, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen on Demand page. Robert, thank you very much.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, well, it's really been a weekend of giant news stories. This one probably would have topped them all had Osama bin Laden not have been captured and killed. The beatification of Pope John Paul II by Pope Benedict. Dr. Martin Noland will be our guest right after this. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The beautiful shoreline, the calming sound of Lake Michigan, the glorious sunrise, the warm June afternoons. This is Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, June 11th through the 14th, 2011. The program? Dr. Paul L. Meyer, professor of history at Western Michigan University and frequent guest on Issues Etc. The topic? The Crescent and the Cross, Islam and Christianity. Dr. Meyer will cover the historical background of Muhammad, the rise of Islam around the world, the beliefs and practices of this world religion, and what its future may hold. In addition, the four-day, three-night Luther Hostel includes interesting day trips to area attractions. For details how you can register for Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel, sponsored by the Concordia Bible Institute on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, visit the Concordia Bible Institute website at www.concordiabible.org or phone 262-243-4343.